Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen,
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstruck. Thunderstruck.
And welcome to hour number two. And oh, by the way, our final hour of coverage from the SEC Football Media Days from Hoover Radio Row, Hyatt Regency, Wimpery Hotel, Jay Henson along with myself here back in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, Crazy Charlie Sonye, and I can't thank Charlie enough for, I know it's a tedious effort to organize all these interviews and being able to not only put them on the air for us from our location here, but with the social media post, and then outstanding job with, I'm really appreciative, Charlie, for being able to pull out the kind words from Bill Hancock, the executive director of the College Football Playoff, or from Derek Mason, head coach of Vanderbilt. So thank you for that, Charlie. And also big thanks to Greg Pogue and the Big Joe Show from, you know, not only for airing the interviews that we had here throughout the week, but just also the opportunity to join him all week long as well. All right, so I've been doing this since 2008, Jay, and, you know, here's the thing. When you get to the point where over the course of 12 SEC football media days, to say you've had the opportunity to conduct 500 one-on-one interviews, and they all averaged, we're talking about averaging over 10 minutes per interview. A lot of questions during those times, and I've always tried, maybe not as much as in 2008, you know, to where I am today. Back when I first started doing this, I wanted to know and break down a lot of the what's on the football field stuff, west and east. I get that all in during the course of an SEC Media Days now, but I know there's other stories to tell. The impact that these individuals have in the community, the importance from an educational standpoint. And like this week, I really wanted to discover after Gene Chizik, the former Auburn head coach and former assistant at MTSU under Boots Donnelly, brought up something that I can't, even for me working in athletics, just took for granted. It's out there. If you're an assistant coach on somebody's staff, you already know how to coach and teach football. And the fact that he brought up the fact that that's where he learned how to teach football. And yep. You go from that to leading the Auburn Tigers to a national championship in 2010. And so that certainly brought up some conversations we had with Nick Saban, along with Derek Mason with Vanderbilt as well. But I get to the point where now, 2019, my 12th straight here from SEC Football Media Days, I wanted number five. It played out this way. I knew going in I needed five interviews today to get to the magic number 500, and I wanted the fifth one today to be really special and memorable. And I figured since I grew up a Bama fan and a household of Auburn fans, then it just made sense if my very first guest was Tommy Tuberville, head coach at Auburn, why not send that extra special gift to my family and, you know, all the my friends who are Auburn fans as well. And here's the beautiful part about it, and Jay, you can attest to this. The only reason, because we got Gus last year, we got Gus Malzahn in 2017. You know, this wasn't our year to get Gus Malzahn because they do a rotation basis. There are 35 radio stations here besides all their work that's required of them upstairs. But Auburn and Gus Malzahn, they wanted this. They actually, yeah. And you can hear in his voice too, and this is a beautiful part too. You can hear the smile, and it kind of relaxed him in that regard as well. He wanted to be number 500. He thought that was a special story, and he wanted that. And here was our visit earlier this afternoon with Gus Malzahn, head coach of the Auburn Tigers. So, Gus, this is my 12th straight SEC Football Media Days. I remember the very first one back in 2008. My very first guest was Tommy Tuberville. I grew up in a household of Auburn fans.
Yeah.
My next guest is the 500th I would ever have as far as covering SEC Media Day. So I had to, first of all, give a gift to my relatives, and I wanted it to be special, and so I wanted to make sure it was you.
Awesome.
So thank you for taking time out.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, at the end of last year, you resume your play-calling abilities with the Auburn Tigers. You ended on a high note in the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. How is, did that win set the tone for this upcoming season?
Yeah, I tell you, we played our best football game. You know, we beat a team that actually beat Ohio State by 29 points.
Exactly.
We beat them handily, and that really has given us some momentum. And then you throw in the fact that we had eight of our juniors that seriously considered leaving early to the NFL. They chose to come back. So it's been a lot of positive momentum this offseason leading up to the you know, to fall camp.
I go back 2 years ago when last time I visited with you here in Birmingham. It, very similar situation, quarterback battle. Nobody was giving Auburn too much of a chance in 2017. You're going to have the chance at the end of the year to host Alabama. Do you like being in that role, knowing that nobody's expecting much?
You know, I feel real comfortable with that role, I'll tell you that. And you're exactly right, in 2017. Of course, 2013, I think we're picked last.
We'll go there, too.
And so, you know, we've done pretty well when we've kind of been under the radar. And you know, both times we've had very veteran teams, too, you know, and we had really good quarterback play.
It must speak volumes knowing you had around the number of eight individuals with a chance to go on to the next level. Instead of that, they decide to come back for one more year. What does that say to the Auburn Nation about their commitment to Auburn?
You know, I think it says everything. You know, we had guys that would have not just been drafted. We had some that have been drafted pretty high. And the fact they came back, I will tell you this, we got a hungry group. We got a real determined team that kind of has a chip on their shoulder, and they feel like they got some unfinished business.
Gus, I know it's always important to get everybody on the same page. We've talked about ride the Gus bus and all that. Explain and talk about the rationale behind Ride for the Brand.
Yeah. You know, Ride for the Brand is just put Auburn first in everything we do, whether you're a coach, whether you're a player. And really at the core of who Auburn is, that's what it's about. It's about work hard, work, play for the player beside you. It's more important than you. And so we've really tried to instill just the core values of who Auburn is, the Auburn creed. And we've had all kinds of former Auburn greats come in just to instill those things that were important to them when they played, what's important to them now. And we've got a lot of former Auburn players on staff that we put up in front of our team, and just trying to give them as much of you know, traditions and everything that goes with it. It's been really good, and I think it's appropriate, you know, for this team.
When you look at the offense in 2019, we start with one of your strengths of the team, the offensive line. Certainly helps from a play-calling standpoint.
No, there's no doubt. When we're able to run the football, I mean, that's when everything else goes. And to win a championship, you got to be successful running it. And I really feel strong that we'll be able to do that. And when we're able to do that, that makes play-calling a lot easier.
Gus, I've never met a coach yet that doesn't like competition at positions. And you have that. You certainly want somebody to win this role, but you have another competition there at quarterback.
Yeah, we do. But here's the deal. Both of them are freshmen, but they're talented. Both of them are run threats. Both of them can create when things break down. Both of them have big-time arms. So the great thing is they got the skill set. And I think we can win games with both of them. So it's just going to be a matter of getting to fall camp, put them through the different things, and figure out who's going to give us the best chance of beating the Oregon Ducks.
Once again, that's Gus Malzahn, head coach of the Auburn Tigers. And you can just hear in his voice, he doesn't care that expectations are not quote-unquote high like Alabama in the West. He was in this situation in 2017. He was in this situation in 2013. Both of those years, wins over Alabama at the end of the year. And in so many ways, very close in comparisons to 2017. Didn't know at that point who was going to be the starting quarterback for the upcoming year. Fast forward to the Auburn Tigers. After the win over Alabama, they were one win away in the SEC title game against Georgia. It would have been Auburn, one of those four teams in 2017 with the opportunity to play for a national title. I like the fact that he was calm, cool, collect. He was certainly very confident. And we'll see how the season plays out with regards to the Auburn Tigers. We'll be with you tonight until 6. Braves baseball coming your way again tonight as the Braves begin a series with the Washington Nationals. Coming up on the other side, a chance to visit with one of the other three players representing Vanderbilt today. Earlier we've heard from Kalijah Lipscomb, wide receiver from Vanderbilt. Coming up, a chance to visit with Vanderbilt tight end Jared Pinkney. He's on the way as our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. We're looking at this crash up against the wall here on 65 northbound at Wedgewood. Traffic's really slow coming off the South Loop, the West Loop, Murfreesboro Pike at Foster. There's a crash waiting for you at that intersection, Whitebridge Pike at Lenox. That's a two-car collision. It's really heavy now. 24 making your way out towards Murfreesboro, 65 to the north, up through Madison. 40 as you continue out into Wilson County, carrying a heavy volume of traffic through Mount Juliet. Suffering from knee or back pain, call 1-800-281-8944. Learn how you can get a comfortable brace. That's 1-800-281-8944. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/19.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit the Southern. SouthernNashville.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable.
Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
Congratulations to Tim Corbin and the 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt, for the second time in school history, wins the national championship. And I believe you have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
We're glad we can celebrate among all of you, the Vanderbilt fans, the Vanderbilt community, Nashville.
Congratulations from your home for Vanderbilt baseball.
I think everybody loves having you guys being our flagship station. It means a lot to us.
Nashville Sports Radio. Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, along with Jay Henson on location Radio Row, as our coverage of Day 4 of the SEC Football Media Days continues from Radio Row at the Hyatt Regency Winfrey Hotel. Crazy Charlie Sagne back in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. And also, big thanks to all of our sponsors this week making it possible for us to be here, including Richard Courtney. You know, every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line, and it's no different when you are looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. I want you to learn more about his proven marketing plan on the web at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. That's 300-8189. Richard Courtney, part of Frederick and Clark Realty at 615-327-4800. All right, so earlier we heard from Kalijah Lipscomb in the 4 o'clock hour. We're still coming up a little bit later this hour, Keyshawn Vaughn, running back from Vanderbilt. But here, one of the other three players representing Vanderbilt, the tight end that led all tight ends in the SEC last year in receptions, Jared Pinkney. Here is our chat with Jared. Jared, you know, it's funny that we talk about SEC football media days, and I was just having this conversation with somebody. When you talk about star power, you know, everybody's allowed to bring three representatives to represent their schools from Monday to today. The big debate is, name me another team when you talk about you and of course, Keyshawn Vaughn, along with Kalijah Lipscomb, as far as with that star power representing your school.
Well, I mean, you know, we kind of just focus on ourselves, you know, not really to compare to other people. So, I mean, it's fun to have this amount of, you know, talent on one team, but at the end of the day, it's more about us than anybody else.
You know, I can tell you and I can talk about how the media feels about Vanderbilt in 2019. I learned a long time ago, and especially this week, when you talk about teams that can compete for an SEC championship, for example, you don't care what we say. You don't care what we think. As long as you believe, that's the only thing that's important.
Right. And that's really what the gist of it is for our team. It's all about us. It's more about what we do in the weight room, what we do on the practice field, and then what we do on Saturdays than what the prognosticators are going to say.
I was watching you last night when you guys arrived and having a chance to just see you interact is the fact that, first of all, you believe in each other. It's like you have, another 80 brothers in your family. At the same time, you had options along with, Kalijah and as well as Keyshawn. You didn't have to be back at Vanderbilt this year. The fact that, you know, what was it that wanted you all to come back and represent the school in 2019?
Well, first and foremost, I wanted to graduate. I thought that was very important, and that's one of the reasons that I came here, one of the main reasons I came here, because it's such an important degree and such a monumental achievement that you can have on your resume, and it makes a huge difference after football. And then second, it just speaks to Mason and the relationship that we've been able to build over the last four, almost 5 years, that I was able to trust him, that he would properly handle me, Keyshawn, and Kalijah in a way that would allow us to not only mature further, but have a successful enough season that we can, you know, raise our monetary value in the NFL.
I don't know what your high school coach was like or other coaches that you've been around, you know, as you make your path to where you are today. You know, some coaches guarded. You ask them a question, they give you an answer, but there's no conversation. One of the things that I've noticed every time I'm in front of Derek Mason, whether via phone, in person, whatever, it's not talking to somebody and they're spitting back an answer. We're actually having a conversation.
Right.
And if we're doing that, I can't imagine what that's like with you and your teammates and that kind of relationship with Derek.
Yeah, you know, it's always refreshing to have a coach that is, like, honest and open with you. And the thing that he always tries to tell our younger guys, because he's intimidating, you know, like he yells, he's got a huge voice, but he tells them, just come and talk to me. He's very approachable. And, you know, you'll get the answers that you're looking for, or you'll get the answers you're not looking for, but all the same, he's open and honest with you.
Well, you could tell that, first of all, he loves you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're like sons to him. And so the first and foremost, I've always learned that if there's not a mutual respect on both ends, there's no way you're going to play for him, and there's no way he's going to get the best out of you guys.
Right. Right, yeah. And it's always been a big thing, you know. I think early on in his career, he was trying to find his footing. And while the guys respected him, it was more of a, you know, the transition from James Franklin to Derek Mason. I didn't come here to play for this guy, so they're kind of feeling him out a little bit. Now, everybody on the roster was recruited by him, and we're here because of him.
Do you feel like, too, there's some players that get yelled at, and it makes them a lot better as far as players. Some, you know, if you yell at them, they'll quit on you. Everybody's different from a personality standpoint, and I think that's one of the qualities that Derek Mason has, is the fact that he understands what it takes to get to say the best out of you, for example.
Yeah, he definitely understands that. There are a bunch of guys on the team that get going when you give them a good kick in the tail, and then there's others that, you know, you need a little bit softer approach. But there's nothing wrong with that, and Coach Mason understands that people are different. Just because you're not going to go yell until somebody starts crying, that's not a bad thing.
You know, one of the things, too, I noticed, and certainly is quite noticeable, everybody's noticed the fact when you look at the three players representing the 14 schools, Vanderbilt, the only school to bring all three individuals from the same side of the ball, and they go, okay, what's going to be the defense? What's going to happen to the defense in 2019? I'll just say this. Because of, you know, how solid as far as the weapons on offense, how solid the weapons are, it can only make the defense better day in and day out in practice.
Well, yeah, we know they know that we have belief in them, and we know that they have belief in us. So it works both ways, hand in hand. I don't think there's any side of the ball that feels that they're superior to the other. We both come to practice with the idea of we're getting each other better.
I said earlier the fact that you don't care and nobody on your team cares if the media or the outside noise, if they believe in you or not. At the same time, though, there's a positive way to take that and let it fuel you with that little chip on your shoulder saying, oh, you can't do that. You're not good enough for that. Because for me, if somebody told me that, it would really irk me to the point where it would drive me even more.
Well, for me personally, and I can't speak for the rest of the team, I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I've really never had one because I've just been so self-motivated. You know, if I'm not going to do the work, then what is somebody else saying something gonna affect that, you know? So that's just me personally.
I've noticed in my experiences, and, you know, I take pride in the fact this is the 12th time I've had the fortunate situation of being able to host my show here from SEC Football Media Days. But year in, year out, one of the things that you can notice is the fact that players that represent Vanderbilt, you know, the intelligence is there.
So, guys,
the leadership
this is my 12th straight SEC football
and media
you,
days. For example, to be put in this position, obviously, that speaks highly of you and the belief that Coach Mason and that staff, the belief that they have in you.
Well, just to speak on the leadership piece, it's really easy for me. Like, I've been blessed with a position group. I'll just talk about them, a position group that works hard day in and day out. The tight ends come to work. They're intentional about their actions. They're detailed in their approach. They're intelligent. And it's been really fun to be. And then my number two guy, Cody Markell, has played, if not just as much football, not that much less, you know. And then he's just as smart as me in the playbook. He's just as determined as me, just as determined as me to be good.
And the funny thing is, you're the first. We're fortunate enough. You're the first interview today. You know, I know it's going to be a very busy day for you when you go. But the funny thing is, there's no nervousness, and you got a huge smile on your face. you're kind of like, I'm in this position. It's my last year. I'm going to enjoy every moment of this.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't talk about football, then you know, what can you talk about?
Hey, what can the Vanderbilt fans expect out of you guys this year?
A good season, hard work, and fun.
And that was Vanderbilt tight end Jared Pinkney. He joined us earlier today as part of the fourth and final day of the SEC Football Media Days. Auburn, Vanderbilt, along with Kentucky, featured today. We still have about another half hour to go of our coverage before we wrap things up from Hoover. Big thanks once again to Crazy Charlie Sanye back in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, along with Jay Henson on location with me. I mentioned the fact we've already visited with Kalijah Lipscomb. That was Jared Pinkney. Coming up on the other side, we have the opportunity to hear from Vanderbilt running back. He played his high school ball in Nashville. It took a little bit of a detour before he found his way back to Nashville. Keyshawn Vaughn, he's coming up on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Bumper-to-bumper traffic here on 40 East and West here at Fessler's, especially eastbound trying to get out past the airport. Crash with injuries. It's going to be front of the Logan's there on Gallatin Pike in Madison. Also, the police are still gathered up on the scene of that wreck at Murfreesboro Pike at Foster Avenue. Heavy traffic continues now on 40, passing the airport, continuing out towards Wilson County through Mount Juliet. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary Valet parking is always available.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast this afternoon. Partly sunny with a chance for a shower or thunderstorm, high 94. Partly cloudy tonight, low 74. Sunshine for Friday and Saturday, high each day 96. A stray thunderstorm Sunday. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, on location, Radio Row, of our fourth day of coverage of the SEC Football Media Days from Hoover, Hyatt Regency, Winfrey Hotel. Just a reminder, if you're going out this weekend, live music, sporting events, whatever the case may be, if you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But if you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Booze it and lose it. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. You know, yesterday we visited with Derek Mason, head coach of Vanderbilt. Today we've already heard from Vanderbilt wide receiver Kalijah Lipscomb, also tight end Jared Pinkney, and the third and final representative of Vanderbilt today, as all 14 teams, not only from the standpoint of the head coaches showing up, but also three players from each team. Keyshawn Vaughn, one of the three individuals from the city of Nashville that have represented teams this year. Earlier this week, Daniel Batuli with Tennessee, Alex Givens, offensive tackle with Ole Miss. But Keyshawn Vaughn today, one of the three players representing Vanderbilt, running back extraordinaire. Here was our chat with Keyshawn. All right, it was an interesting journey for you from Pearl Cone, I'm not going to mention that school up north, to find your way back to Nashville as far as Vanderbilt. What's that journey been like for you?
I mean, it's really been crazy. When I was up north, a lot of things went on that I had to be mentally tough for. And with the help of my mom, that's how I got through that situation. But coming back to Vandy, even my first year at Vandy, like on scout team, I was just enjoying football again. And that's kind of what I lost when I was up north. But to go back and, like, I was just playing football and had to worry about learning the plays because I was off that year. So that was a good thing. But then next coming into the season last year, I was ready for it. Things still weren't going my way towards the beginning. But my situation up north made that situation last year easy for me because I done been through it before. So I was just sitting back, awaiting my turn, and when I got the ball, I did what I was supposed to do with it.
You know, I've had this question. I've asked defensive ends what it's like to realize there's nothing in between you and sacking a quarterback. I've never asked a running back, and I can ask that of you because you know the feeling when all of a sudden you realize there's nobody in front of you and you're getting ready to rip off a 60-plus yard touchdown. Now, not unless you've got the scoreboard showing the video of you breaking out. What is that feeling like knowing that you've got separation like that and you've got a long touchdown ahead of you?
Like, as soon as I see the hole open, it's the best feeling in the world. Like, my whole line, I tell them all the time, I just need like 1 second. Just hold your block for 1 second, and then I'm out. And I feel like that's something that they like take pride in. They like, all right, Key only need this much time. Let's get it. Let's give it to him. And when I see them holes open, it's just a wrap. It's ball game.
I noticed this. I noticed it out of Kalijah. I noticed it out of Jarrett. You know, you're not nervous about this. You got a huge smile on your face. You're embracing this opportunity to represent Vanderbilt. You know, is that just because you realize that, you know, this is it for you and you're going to enjoy every moment?
I went to Big Ten Media Day my sophomore year. So I've been like in the Media Day environment before.
So you're an expert now.
You can say that. That's why I had to step up the suit, the shoes. I had to step it all up this time.
And by the way, you look absolutely marvelous. You're well. You know, you can almost be, if you were taller and you wanted to play the position, you could be like these GQ model type quarterbacks that we've been seeing all week.
Man, don't say that. You can't say that.
But I mean, obviously, it's a nice responsibility for you. It reflects well as far as your leadership skills. And it's one thing to say, okay, you're a leader. And I'm not going to mention other schools or, but outside the conference. But it's like you can't appoint somebody a leader. A leader is somebody that has those natural qualities where somebody is wanting to follow them. And just being around you, you can just see it in your eyes why somebody would want to see you, hear you, and want to, you know. It brings out the best out of them.
So, towards January, my role is like a leader has stepped up to become like more vocal, and that's something I've never been. It's more like I'm all about action, and so having to do that vocal leader role, I hit a couple roadblocks, as far as like spring ball with the defense. We hit a couple roadblocks, but we was able to get back. Because they understood where I was coming from, and they understood that I was going through a process, too, of trying to become this vocal leader. And then, like, how I play the game, it's like it's I play angry. And so on the field, I'm just angry. So that's something that the team had to, like, kind of, like, adjust to, and I had to adjust to them to a degree. But, like, it's all coming together now. Everybody's confident in one another. We're getting closer as a team as a whole.
Visiting with Keyshawn Vaughn. You know, Keyshawn, I gave this stat to Larry Leathers earlier with the media relations department at Vanderbilt. There's 42 total players representing the 14 schools here, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's only 4 states with more players represented than the city of Nashville. You, of course, with the Pride. You got Daniel Batuli with Tennessee and Alex Gibbons, the offensive tackle with Ole Miss. Must be something in the water there in Nashville now producing this kind of quality, not just player on the field, but these leadership qualities as well.
I mean, Nashville definitely got some athletes. Got athletes coming out almost every year, and that's something that's kind of slept on. But, like, a couple years, that's all you're going to hear about Nashville athletes. I feel like it's just more, we understand that we got to grind more. We don't get as much recognition coming out of high school, so a lot of things we grind for. And I just feel like that's just a Nashville trait, just to go out there and ball.
I asked Jared this earlier, and the fact that, you know, here's Vanderbilt, 3 outstanding players. We're talking about Kalijah Lipscomb, led all SEC receivers last year in catches. Jared Pinckney leading all tight end in catches. You leading the conference in 7.9 yards per carry. Day in and day out in practice, you make the defense better, but at the same time, they keep bringing more out of you as well.
Like, that's facts, though. Because, like, when I was on scout team, that's all I was focused on. It was crafting my craft. I'm getting better at things that I felt I lacked. And so that helped me a lot. And then experience. Experience helps a lot. And like you said, we get the defense better because they're going against the big 3 every day. And so it gets no better than that.
Before I let you go, you have an example along with your teammates this year to show that, hey, we can produce on the football field. You can send a message to future recruits by saying the fact that you get a great education. And, oh, by the way, if you want to play, say, professional football, that opportunity will be down there as well. You know, talk to a future student athlete in the high school ranks that are thinking about Vanderbilt or somebody else. What would you say to them?
First of all, I tell them, like you said, great education, getting no better than that. And that degree just holds so much weight. They call it the Ivy League of the South. They call it that for a reason, because it holds so much weight. And then, like you said, that the NFL eyes are now there. Like, it's easy to – you in the SEC. The eyes are already there. All you got to do is make your plays, put up the stats or whatever they want to see. And then just let the ball roll from there. Don't force nothing. Just let it play out.
By the way, you know, growing up, had tough love from my parents, but I knew at the end it was going to make me a better person. Talk about that tough love, and it certainly is love when I throw that word out there, that relationship that you have, your teammates have with Derek Mason.
Tough love. Coach Mason, oh, man. Coach Mason, a great guy. Like I've been saying, he's an open book. He lets you come in his office whenever you need to talk to him. He'll give you the shirt off his back. He's more accessible. Not a lot of head coaches you have access to easily, but him, the coaching staff, you see him walking around, everybody's happy. Speaking, I feel like it's just a great environment for a student athlete to be in.
And once again, that was Keyshawn Vaughn, running back with Vanderbilt, one of the three players representing Vanderbilt today at SEC Football Media Days, along with tight end Jared Pinkney, wide receiver Kalijah Lipscomb as well. Coming up on the other side, a chance to hear from Cole Kublik, football analyst with the SEC Network. In fact, you'll be able to see Cole very first football weekend for Vanderbilt as they play host to Georgia. It's the primetime game on the SEC Network. That's coming up on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. They're still working this wreck out here on 65 southbound at Wedgewood. Between Wedgewood and the 440 split, we got a crash at Nolensville Pike at Central Avenue. It's still tied up there at Brook Hollow Road at West Mead out west due to that crash. All the major outbound routes right now, pretty heavy, especially 40 East, coming past the airport and continuing out towards Wilson County. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
If you're a paint contractor, the Home Depot is here to save you money. You can get the same or better quality paint as you do at paint stores, but you also get one thing paint stores don't have: low prices every day on every gallon of high quality Behr paint, stains, and primers. Plus, for pros, volume discounts. How much are you paying per gallon? At the Home Depot, you pay less for Behr paint every day, like Behr Pro paint starting at just $15.48 a gallon. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
GEICO presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The GEICO Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit GEICO.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Foxwoods Resort Casino 301 and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series coming up on Sunday at New Hampshire. Kyle Busch is the favorite to win it. He comes in at 5-2. Martin Truex Jr. has 7-2 odds, followed by Kevin Harvick at 11-2, and then Brad Keselowski 8-1. Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano both 9-1. Kyle Busch does remain the favorite to win the overall championship this year at 3-1, followed by Martin Truex Jr. at 5-1. Kevin Harvick has 6-1 odds, followed by Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, and Joey Logano at 8-1.
For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your Action Update on Nashville Sports Radio.
And now the fine folks at Southern Grounds would like to take this time to remind all Americans to show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. Their tireless efforts shall never go unnoticed. This proud salute has been brought to you by Southern Grounds. For the finest quality landscape architects, landscaping, and irrigation serving Nashville and the surrounding areas, call 615-424-8871. That's 615-424-8871. Southern Grounds. They're people who care.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Let's finish with a bang. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson right here, Radio Row, SEC Football Media Days. Earlier today, a chance to visit in person with Cole Kublik, football analyst with the SEC Network, also a talk show host here in Birmingham on Three Man Front on Jocks 94.5. Here was our visit with Cole. Cole, so far, what has been your impressions of the SEC Football Media Days for 2019?
A little bit slow. Not much drama.
Why is that?
Not much trouble. I think people are beginning to learn how to avoid having things pop up that they're going to have to answer, and they try to knock those out in Destin before they have to come here and meet with all the members of the media. So I think people are just sort of figuring this thing out a little bit more. They're more intelligent with who they bring and how they coach those guys up before they get here. So you're just not getting a lot of the drama. And I think, too, that's – let's be honest. We kind of feel like we know about what a lot of these teams are going to be. We think it's going to be Georgia and Alabama again. We think there's two, three teams, whether it's Florida, LSU, Missouri, that could potentially go on a run and challenge one of these teams. But we kind of know where everybody is. There's only two real quarterback competitions in the league.
Absolutely.
Auburn and Mississippi State. So
absolutely.
That usually adds a lot of drama and intrigue. So I think we just – we have probably a pretty good feel of the league right now. No coaching turnover. That takes away from it a little bit.
I can't remember the last time you could say what you just said.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think that'll be the case next year.
Probably not. No, probably not. Especially if this year ends the way it did last year. This year ends the way last year did as well. That'll probably add to some speculation of how much longer somebody's going to be around.
I tell you what really I learned this week, and it's just really nice when you sit down, for example, and see the pure emotions from some of these players. Like, for example, redshirt freshman Matt Corral with Ole Miss. One of my final questions to him, I asked him, what is it going to be like for you to take the field as a starting quarterback for Ole Miss? Because before that, I was talking about Archie Manning and Eli Manning and Chad Kelly and Bo Wallace and all those guys. And he literally paused for about 4 seconds. And I thought, maybe he didn't hear my question. And then you could just see his eyes start glistening up, and he just couldn't put it in words. And I think it hit him all of a sudden that he's the man now.
Yeah.
And he's a redshirt freshman. Can't imagine what that experience is going to be like for him and what he is having to take in as far as that pure emotions of that.
Well, and I think that's part of why he's here. That's part of why Matt Luke wanted him here, because he knows he's going to be the guy. Put him in some situations where he has to answer questions and he has to act as the leader of the football team. I think that's one reason that Barry Odom brought Kelly Bryant here. I mean, Barry Odom wants Kelly Bryant to be in those positions, be in those situations. Barry Odom told me, he said, listen, I take that position serious. I take the leadership part of that position serious. So I want that guy to be in a lot of different situations of leadership and directing the team and being the guy of the team. So if you have chances like this to put them in those situations, I think it's good to be able to do it, to be able to show everybody this is going to be our quarterback. This is going to be the guy that leads our team.
I go back when, I guess it was before the 2013 season, Nick Marshall was supposed to represent Auburn.
Yeah.
And the weekend before, he got into trouble with a marijuana bust. And so they did not allow him to be one of the three guys. And I'm thinking, if you want to punish him, put him through this ringer.
No, it would have been the ultimate punishment for them. But that Gus Malzahn made the right move that year for multiple reasons.
As far as it starts with Alabama, Georgia, you bring up Kelly Bryant, and I don't know what's going to play out as far as the appeal, whether or not Missouri is going to be bowl eligible or not. I think if they are bowl eligible, watch out. But if we're talking about Missouri without a Kelly Bryant, for example, would we be even thinking about Missouri possibly being a dark horse in the East?
I think it depends on who's the quarterback. I think if Sean Robinson got eligible this year somehow, maybe we're talking about them as being able to go on that run. They have three of my top five offensive linemen by position.
And we know that's important to you.
It is. They've got a top five tackle in Yashir Durant. They got a top five guard in Trevor Wallace-Sims. They got a top five center in Tristan Colon-Castillo. They have a top three tight end in college football in Albert O. Larry Roundtree went for 1,000 yards a season ago. Jalen Knox had a good year at receiver, and he's still kind of learning that position. They had to move him over there last year. So I think you look at what Derek Dooley did last year with Drew Locke, and I talked to Drew about just sort of the conceptual football and how he learned more about the game, about the offense, about his team, how to handle situations, field placement, not just down and distance, but where you were on the field, where you were in the game, why to make certain throws at that point in the game instead of just boom, boom, one read, two read, go. You have this guy's open, throw it here. I mean, he was going single receiver reads in the offense that he had before because they were going so fast. If Derek Dooley can help Kelly Bryant take that little bit of a step, then all of a sudden, I think he might be a really good college quarterback. We go back and think that he was some sort of failure at Clemson. I mean, the guy started a college football semifinal playoff game.
Absolutely.
I mean, he won an ACC championship. So I think the guy's played some big-time football. He understands probably why he's in the situation that he is. And it's not just that Trevor Lawrence is that good. It's that he made some mistakes, and there's some things he needs to improve. But I think he knows he's got a good situation around him. And keep in mind, too, the culture that's being built there. Barry Odom hadn't had a single guy go in the portal, not one. And obviously, so none have left. So, I mean, it just shows you kind of what he means to the players, what that team means, what they all mean to each other. There's a lot of value in that. And then the schedule really lines up perfectly for them, Johnny. I mean, I think week four, South Carolina at Missouri, that's a little bit tricky, a little bit dangerous. But, I mean, you go back to the fact that you get like a two-month stretch at home, and then you get a week off before you go play at Georgia November the 9th. And then November the 16th, you get Florida at home. And they've owned Florida the last 2 years. They've dominated Florida the last 2 years. And now you get them in a cold weather environment late in the season. That's a good spot for Missouri to get them again. So the schedule, their draw from the West is really nice. So, I mean, with Ole Miss and Arkansas, I mean, they got a chance to put together a heck of a season. And Kelly Bryant doesn't have to go be Superman. He just has to cut down on some mistakes. He's going to help with the quarterback run game. That'll force defenses to defend that. And he needs to up his completion percentage on high percentage throws, easier throws. You know, the intermediate accuracy has to improve. And if it does, they really do have a chance. I mean, I'm not real confident in the defense, but I think the offense can operate in different ways. I think they can play ball control. I think they can be high-powered. And I think they can be multiple, and that's going to be tough for people to deal with.
Well, here's the thing. Your point about the defense, just look at Vanderbilt, for example. If Vanderbilt last year, in games that they scored 28 or more points, just regular season, if you want to add the bowl game, then it's an extra loss. But if you just count the regular season, Vanderbilt was 6-1 last year when they scored 28 or more points. And so you talk about Missouri, can they put some points on the board with Kelly Bryant? Absolutely. And just looking – and Vanderbilt, we're talking about – when you think about the Commodores, you think about how great their defenses have been. Well, last year they were not, and they were in the double digits as far as rankings, as far as those key categories in the SEC.
That's a defense that I worry about. Right there, Vanderbilt. I love their offense. I love the skill guys they're going to have here today. I think it's the best trio of skill maybe they've ever had, running back, tight end, receiver.
Totally agree.
And I think Riley Neal is going to be fine at quarterback. I liked what I saw from him in the spring. He obviously has experience playing in the MAC, but I worry about that defense a little bit. I love Coach Tarver. I think he's going to be great. He's done a great job already, but just they don't have a lot of bodies that I've seen make plays that give me the confidence that they're going to be able to get a lot of stops this year. So that part, I think every team in the East has a chance to be bowl eligible, but Missouri's defense is probably the biggest question mark as to what would keep that from happening.
I have up and the way it plays out, I got Tennessee, Vanderbilt 7-4 going in that final game, but I totally agree with you about Vanderbilt's defense. The area that certainly needs to be improved, you go back to 2017 where you've got manageable distances as far as that defense getting the opponent off the field, like 3rd and 6 in that average. Last year, it went up over a yard per down, and so they go from being one of the top 25 teams in the country as far as 3rd and distance compared to being at the bottom 25% of the all of college football. That is one area that has to be improved. You can't allow teams to prolong drives.
No, I agree, and they're going to get away a little bit from what they did a season ago. Now, it's a hire from within, so I'm interested to see how different this offense looks. Are they really going to spread things out a little bit? Is it really going to be more spread-based? I know there'll be a little West Coast flavor to it, but how much more high-powered can they be? Because they may have to be that kind of team that you talked about last year. They may have to be a team that scores 28, 32 points a game to actually go find a way to be bowl eligible.
Can they be both, though? You look at the quick strikes that Alabama had, for example, with Tua Tagovailoa. For Vanderbilt, I don't think that quick strikes is the key there because I think that will wear out that defense. You mentioned certainly depth is an issue.
Their offensive line's not good enough to be the other kind. So they have to be. They have to be a team that's more high-powered offensively because they're not going to be able to grind people down. I don't think they can be that kind of a football team. So I do think they consistently need to be a team that scores points because the offensive line is not going to be great. And, again, I have my concerns about the defense. So I think Vanderbilt's got to be a team that sort of moves towards being a high-powered offensive football team.
We've talked about this with you, visiting, by the way, with Cole Kubelik, about the fact that the way you approach the game and the way you approach your job, you know, you can certainly have all the capabilities and tools to be a coach. Every year, as far as SEC Football Media Days, I try to find a topic that I wanted to explore. And this week it was, at what point did you realize that you could be a good coach, you could teach the art of football? And I got on this topic because visiting with Gene Chizik, you know, anybody who wins a national championship, I understand they had Cam Newton, but that was a team with, 20-plus seniors on that team.
And he got one as coordinator, too. So.
And exactly.
He was
and,
Texas defensive coordinator when they won a national title.
But what I did not know was the fact that, you know, he was an assistant coach at MTSU in the early 90s. And you assume when somebody has a position like that, they already they play football, they know how to coach the game up and teach the game. And he was talking, he shared with us, that's where he learned how to actually teach football. And so that was one of my pieces this week, finding out at what point, like I asked the same thing of Nick Saban, at what point did you realize that you could you're a great recruiter. At what point did you realize that you could teach the art of football? And so I look at it from your perspective. I know you and I personally have, spoken about this. Because in just listening to you and the way you break down games, I mean, I know you have the confidence that if you wanted to do that and explore that, you certainly could pull that off.
No, and it's something I think I would enjoy. I think I would like it. I don't know if I'd like recruiting, to be honest with you. I think here, when I got out of school, I did want to be a coach. And the path to success was so much longer than it is now. I mean, you got guys that are 2-3 years out of playing college football that are making $250,000, $300,000. To go be an assistant wide receiver coach or, director of recruiting or some liaison in the football office. So it's a very different path now than it was when you had to be a GA for 8 or 10 years, essentially not getting paid. Then you made 40, 50 grand when you started out and you're moving all around. It's just not the same anymore. There's so many spots on these staffs and so many people are moving around. Spots are opening up. So it's much easier now. I think I would still like it. I think I would like to teach the game, help people understand the game, help kids get better, help develop kids not only from football perspective but in a life perspective. I think I have lessons I could teach from there. But, I love what I'm doing now. I tell people I hadn't been to work in 6 years, so that's good. Except for this thing. This thing feels like work. This thing will wear you down.
Jordan Rodgers would probably say the same thing about you. Cole Kubelik, I'm pretty sure I haven't seen him work any during the last 6 years.
Coming from him would be funny. But
you know what it reminds me of, by the way, in visit with him and hearing him speak about you? Reminds me at the end of the Alabama-Notre Dame game at the end of 2012 when Alabama, just a couple of plays away from wrapping up a blowout victory over Notre Dame, and Barrett Jones, the center, gets into it with A.J. Yeah. McCarron. And it kind of reminds me of what you two would be like if you were the center, which you played at Auburn, and you got Jordan Rodgers from Vanderbilt. If you were on the same team, I'm pretty sure at one point or another during the course of a season, you would turn around and pull a Barrett Jones on Jordan Rodgers.
Maybe a little bit. I'll tell you this, though. There's a big misconception about Jordan, and a lot of people think that, you know, he got his job because of what he did before and where he's been on TV and things like that. But Jordan knows football.
Absolutely.
And Jordan studies the game. Jordan is a student of the game. He is a film nerd just like I am. I love talking football with him because he likes to ask me questions about the trenches. I ask him questions about routes and coverages, and we really do a good job bouncing things off of each other. And he's just a fun guy to be around. Our whole crew is fun. Tom and Jordan and I and our entire crew behind the scenes, I'm glad we're back together again. But I talk to a lot of different people in this business, and it's rare that you get to work with people that you really like to be around, and that you're really friends with. And that's what we are. I mean, he was at my house two nights ago, had dinner, hanging out with my kids and my wife, and we stayed up talking for a while. So, I mean, that's, if Tom didn't have a Major League Baseball game the next day, he would have been there too. So, you know, he comes through to do the SEC baseball tournament, and he stops by the house and hangs out for a little while. And when we do the Peach Bowl, Tom has us over to dinner at his house. So, I mean, it's really my second family. It is. You go, you meet up on Thursday nights and leave Sunday mornings for 17 straight weekends. They better be your family.
Otherwise,
you're not going to be a happy person.
Otherwise, you're going to be very miserable.
Exactly.
Hey, before we let you go, remind everybody as far as what they can expect out of you. You're talking about your teammates there with the SEC Network. Let them know again what to expect this fall.
Well, we got the same crew back together. So Jordan Rodgers, Tom Hart, and myself will be on the SEC Network Saturday night crew. It looks like we're going to be in Nashville week one. We haven't necessarily been assigned that game, but obviously that falls in our slot. So we're hoping to get that one. I think Vandy, Georgia at Vandy would be a really good game, especially early in the season with some of those weapons that Vanderbilt has. Maybe A&M on that Thursday night heading into that game. So, again, we haven't been assigned those games, but hopefully those will be the ones. And then, obviously, JocksFM.com Monday through Friday, 10 to 2 p.m.
I don't know if Vanderbilt really appreciates this or not, but I can tell you right now, Georgia is not thinking Alabama. Georgia is thinking Vanderbilt.
Well, they should be. Like I said, that could end up being a dangerous game. It could be a four-quarter game. Now, I think Georgia could probably run the ball 65 times and win that game, but we'll see how many points Vanderbilt can find a way to put up early, because if Georgia struggles getting to the passer the way they did last year in week one, all of a sudden Vanderbilt could be moving the football around a little bit.
Cole Kubelik joined us earlier today as we wrap up our coverage of the SEC Football Media Days. We'll see you back in the studios again tomorrow afternoon at 4. For Jay Henson here on location with me, big thanks again to our sponsors. Also to Crazy Charlie Sonier back in the Goggin Cole Hall studios. Braves baseball on the way next as they begin the series with the Washington Nationals. Don't forget the Bill King Show tomorrow morning, followed by Greg Pogue and the Big Joe Show. For everybody at Sports National Sports Radio, WNSR, have a wonderful night and make it count.